Welcome to Two Mills, One Mic, the podcast where real life takes center stage.
We're your hosts, Casey S.
and Tara O.
And we're diving deep into the everyday roller coaster that is life.
From the challenges of dating in the modern world,
to the hilarious mishaps of parenting,
the ups and downs of careers and friendships,
and the secrets behind all the other bullshit that life can hit you with,
we're here to share our stories, insights, and laughter with you.
So grab a cup of coffee or a glass of wine and join us for candid conversations about the world's most relatable experiences.
Whether you're a parent, a professional, or just trying to navigate this crazy thing called life, we've got you covered.
This is Two Mills, One Mic.
Let's get it real together.
Oh.
Yeah, you're on. Okay. You're live.
Oh, right now.
You're making the magic happen.
Hello, I'm magicking over here.
Microphone magic. So, man, you guys, this week, we are really just kind of winging it. We have
sort of. We have a topic. We have some shit to talk about. We're just not real sure how this is going to go.
Yeah, because we had a whole nother thing planned.
We did.
And then Casey came to me with good news.
Literally this morning.
That her daughter is allowing us to share her story.
Yes.
So,
unfortunately, she did not want to speak about it herself. I totally understand. So this will probably be more of like a parental perspective of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, I will be able to communicate some of how she was feeling at the time.
It's still a touching story.
Yes.
And it's still a story that I think many are going to be able to relate to.
I hope so. And like, you have no idea. I've literally thought about this all day long. Mm-hmm. And no matter what I'm saying, I really, really hope that it reaches exactly who it needs to go to.
Yeah.
And if anything, you know, God love you, reach out. Like, you have no idea what it means for others to hear similar stories.
Right.
So if this is something that you can relate to, or you know someone that it could relate to, share this with them. Yes. Have them email us. Have them, you know, find us on the TikTok, anything. I don't care. Reach out. Contact us some way. Because I think that sharing these stories helps you heal.
And not feel so alone.
Yes. Yeah.
Some people are, you know, things that are normal, that other people experience, they feel like are not normal and not acceptable, and that nobody's going to understand.
Yes.
So if you're able to just reach out to somebody who's been through it and understands, it is helpful.
Right. Agreed.
All right, well, let's have some fun before we go into
it. Yeah, let's smash or pass some shit.
Yeah. So, he buys a vehicle without discussing it with you first.
Pass.
Just comes home with it.
Well,
yeah.
Okay, no, I might take that back. Is it cool?
I mean, it's cool, but it's really expensive.
Ah, fuck. I mean, he's got money, doesn't he? Is he fucking paying for it, but the bills and shit are still paid?
It's a dumb purchase. I'm just saying.
So, okay, see, I just have a skewed thought process on this, but when I was married, our incomes were separate. Where there was no additional. So literally, when I bought my car, when I went to him and said, "Hey, I'm really thinking about this car," his response was, "Can you afford it?"
Yeah.
"Yes, I can." So I bought the fucking car.
I think if it was a vehicle within the budget, his budget,
right,
whatever, okay, cool.
Yeah, smash.
If it's not affecting the rest of our lives because we can't eat that week, then
yeah,
smash.
That's going to be a fuck you, stupid. That's what that'll be.
Yeah.
They have a hard time being serious or can't be serious for very long at a time.
That one could be both a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
Because I think if you're in a serious discussion for very long, like, maybe you need the comedic relief.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's good in that aspect. But sometimes you need a motherfucker to be serious and you want to cut them because they can't.
I think I might struggle with that a bit, just because I can only do serious for so long before it's like,
yeah,
all right, I'm over this shit. I need to say something really stupid. Because during this podcast, I will like randomly say some silly ass shit just because it's like, okay, I'm feeling like backed in a corner here a little bit.
We're either going to laugh or we're going to cry.
Yeah, we're so probably going to do both. Laugh. This is going to be a rom-com. Yeah. No. What?
It's going to be fun. No.
It's going to be, yeah, it's fine. Tragedy. Dramedy. Dramedy. What?
Yeah.
Is that the word?
What you said.
Yeah, it's, I'm fuck you. I said it and that's what I meant. That's what I said.
All right. Secretly, he paints his toenails.
Smash. Fuck you. I don't care if you paint your toenails.
I don't either.
I will paint them for you. You paint mine, I paint yours.
So we got to make them manly. Let's put some...
sparkles.
Flames or... what else is manly? I don't know.
Skulls and shit.
Guns.
Paint a motorcycle on it. Refuses to, this is funny, okay, refuses to wear a Bob Ross wig while they're painting.
Pass, because where's your sense right. of humor, sir?
Yes, thank you. What? What are you looking at me stupid for? It's a Bob Ross wig. How can you paint anything without
Bob
one on?
Ross is a painting wizard.
Right?
Wear the damn wig.
He made Happy Little Accidents just look cool as fuck. That's all I gotta say. He's the only one I've ever met. I didn't meet him, but
paint
know
that
of.
Shit like it's glitter everywhere. His little fairy dust spots.
I really anyway. Want to do that. I'm gonna do it.
Okay, it's your turn. No, it's not. I just did the paint.
I did Bob Ross.
Oh yeah, you did do Bob Ross.
Oh help us, God. Lord, help us.
He proposes to you, but he makes sure. To let you know that he wants you to sign a prenup before you get married.
While, like, right after he proposed?
Yeah, he, like in proposes, the proposal. But he's like, yeah, that's part of the terms and conditions.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and smash because my chances of ever finding some motherfucker that had enough shit for me to sign a prenup is, like, one in a million, okay?
So you're like... it's fine. I'll sign it.
Yeah, fuck you. All right. Sounds good. Didn't have shit coming into this anyway, so I'll leave with not shit. They are Captain Obvious.
Like, you know what they're going to say?
Yeah.
Or, like, or they, something like, happens and they say exactly
yes,
what just
Yes, it's, like,
happens.
Constantly. Like, it points out exactly what the fuck is happening.
No, that gets on my nerves.
Yeah, no shit. Me too.
Freaking Captain Obvious. More like Captain Dipshit. Okay. You're 6 months in before he tells you that he has a kid.
Pass. Why would you not bring that up before 6 months in?
Yeah, why are you keeping it a secret?
Like, I tell people immediately.
Clearly,
I have a kid.
To me, that says you're not a very involved parent. And
no
why?
Shit. If we've been dating 6 months and you've never mentioned nor have I seen.
There's no evidence. Yeah.
Yeah, nothing.
Like,
what?
Yeah. Why are you not involved?
Yeah. What the fuck is wrong with
Red
you?
Red flag.
They are terrified of silly things like Q-tips, cotton balls, or like hats.
What has happened to you? I don't know. That's weird.
Right? I think I'd have to be like, pass, because you know, like, vagina's going to scare you. Like, I don't need that.
The whispering eye.
Yes.
Every time he inhales, his nose makes a whistling noise. It's like a whistling booger.
Pass. That would drive me fucking insane.
Thank you,
and
ma'am.
I would just like concentrate on the whistle.
It's all you can hear.
Yeah, what the fuck?
You're trying to talk and it's like a...
But like go blow your nose. Like if my nose is doing that and I can hear it, I immediately like blow my nose.
What if they
like,
can't hear it though? They claim
the
that they cannot hear it.
What do you mean you can't fucking hear it? Know. Have your fucking hearing check. Go get hearing aids. Continuously blow your nose. Put something in there. Wax them.
Wax them.
I don't know. I don't know what would help. They won't leave the house unless it's nice weather. Like, if it's too hot, they ain't leaving the fucking house. If it's too cold, they're not
no,
leaving the fucking house.
No, screw you, because you ain't never going to leave your damn house. He won't touch you if you just got a spray tan that day. He doesn't like the way it makes your skin feel, so he won't touch you.
Smash. I mean, that's just like a one day texture thing. Yeah. I guess. I don't fucking know.
I don't know, but I will say my boss, anytime I get a spray tan, I can literally walk through the door and it's like his nose is ultra sensitive to it. He's like, okay, who got a spray tan?
Really? I'm
like, are you kidding me right now?
Damn.
He can't handle it.
That's a little fucking weird. Okay. When they pray, like at dinner, they end their prayer with over and out instead of amen.
Why?
I don't know. Please remember, I hang around like truck drivers all day. So I thought about that. I was like,
maybe they're trying to make it more relatable. I don't know.
They're like, hey, Jesus, this is rubber duck. Over. Like, that's how they pray. Thank you for this food. Over.
Radio chick, chick, chick.
One niner. I mean, good for you. You're praying, dude, and you do it your way, but I would laugh. It would make me fucking laugh.
It would make me laugh, too.
It'd make me ask a lot of fucking questions, though.
Yeah.
Also, I'm probably going to smash.
Probably, yeah. He wipes back to front, and it gets on his nuts, so he calls it a mud flap.
Oh, my fucking God.
You didn't know a nut sack was just a mud flap, did you?
Oh, God. Pass. What?
Disgusting.
What?
I want to know, does this actually fucking happen?
You know it does. I'm going to start asking.
That's what that smell is. It's from Munda Cheese.
Oh,
that's
fuck.
Actually Dookie.
Oh, my God. What if? Please don't spit that out your nose. Oh, that would be the worst. What if they didn't get it all? Okay, speaking of things, these fucking little trees. I got one in my backyard with the little white blossoms. Like they're all at the park. I think they're Bradford pear trees. I think. I don't know.
Are there ones that are pink like that too?
Possibly. I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, go on. Proceed.
They're at the park. I got one in my backyard. My mom has a couple in her front yard. These motherfuckers stink. These blooms stink. Do you know what I feel like they stink like? Jizz.
Ew.
I'm not fucking with you. So we got like 8 in the front of my place that employs me. And every time the wind blows just right and I can smell these motherfuckers, I'm like walking along and go, every time. Oh, God.
They shall forever be called jizz trees.
That's what I call them. I don't know what they are, but I feel like they're jizz trees.
Yeah, they
like,
are.
Like, it grosses me the fuck out.
Yeah.
It's bad, too. It's like stank. It's like shit that's been sitting in the sack for a while. You know what I... You know... Don't fucking just laugh and look at me stupid. You know exactly what the fuck I'm talking about.
Oh.
It's bless bad. There's a hell of a smell. Okay, I'm sorry.
Moral of the story. Don't get backed up, boys. All right. He calls his mom, Mommy.
Pass.
He's like, yeah, we can do that, but first I need to call Mommy.
No. Yeah, no, we weird. Don't. That's not what we're doing.
Yep.
No. Every time you go out to dinner, they insist that you drink. Like, no, you're going to have a drink. Here, I'll order you one.
No.
Yeah.
Because some days I just don't be wanting one.
Yeah, pass. I'm a fucking grown up. If I want to have a fucking beer.
Waste your money. If I tell you no, that's what
yeah,
the fuck I mean.
Because then if you order one, I'm still not going to fucking drink. I'm going to order water on the side. Thanks.
Yes. Every time he comes, he farts.
Does it stink?
It's like a pressure release.
Is it stink? Is it stinky or is it just like a fart?
I mean, it's coming out of his butthole. It probably stinks.
Not all farts stink.
It's a boy, Casey.
I think girls' farts are worse than boy farts.
I don't know about that.
Is it worth it? Like, there's a lot of things I feel like that would... If it's not worth a fuck, then no, but I'm going to pass. If it's worth a fuck... I can ignore some shit, smash.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Is this the last one? I think this might be my
yeah,
last one.
Yeah, it's your last one.
They make a list of things that they love about you for you to read.
I like it. That's sweet.
I think it's super sweet.
Yeah. Smash.
Mm. Yeah. Smash the shit out of it.
He wants you to call him a dirty little slut when you do the diddle.
I'm going to call him that.
Yeah.
you hear that stutter a little bit?
He doesn't want you to call, or he doesn't want to call you that. He wants to be the dirty little slut.
Yeah, fuck it. Yeah. Smash.
Okay.
I don't know how much I could say that, though. I'd rather call him a dirty little slut than fucking daddy.
Yeah.
What would you ever call your husband as a term of endearment? Hold on. Would you ever call him like, hey, sweet boy. Hey, pretty boy. Hey, baby boy. Would you ever do that?
Mm-mm.
Would you mind if he called you baby girl?
See? Not as much.
I don't.
That one doesn't bother me.
That's what I'm saying. That I don't want to be called that.
Yeah.
But if somebody did, it probably wouldn't just
probably
be like,
probably wouldn't think twice about it.
But if I was to call them, hey, baby boy, that just sounds fucking weird for me personally. I don't know why.
I don't like it either.
Hmm. So I was reading on Facebook, Facebook groups, and they're like, what is something else you could call your male, you know, significant other besides babe, honey, whatever?
Pookie.
I don't think that was listed, but do you know how many times pretty boy and baby boy was?
That's weird.
I was like, I've never heard that fucking shit in my life, nor have I ever considered calling anybody that.
Yeah.
It was weird. It was fucking strange.
It is a little weird.
Okay. I think it's time.
All right.
Okay. Alrighty. So, I have shared some things about my life. And my only child, who is currently 16, will be 17 soon. But when she was 13, about to be 14, she was sexually assaulted.
Yes.
And we, when I say we, I mean my husband at the time and I, did not find out until almost 6 months later.
Mm-hmm.
That's when her little kid mind could not hold on to that and keep it to herself. Now, before anybody rips my ass apart about this, yes, we went to the cops. Yes, we did all the things. Calm your tits. I honestly...
Hold on, before you proceed, okay. I want to say this, too.
Okay.
Do not come at my friend, people. She is a mother that knows where her kid is all the time.
Yeah.
It's not from negligence. It's just shit that happens sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, I could say... You know, we felt as though she was with a trusted person. Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? This wasn't, it was a really fucked up situation. So, and thank you for saying, because I probably wouldn't even have fucking thought of that. So, good
You're
job.
Welcome.
So, after all of this, you can only imagine how this would devastate a parent.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you think you have done everything right.
Mm-hmm.
And then something like this happens. And for her to have been as young as she was, mm-hmm. I feel like, was devastating.
Probably hard to even fully process at that age.
Yes.
Because, I mean, you know a lot.
Yes.
But you don't know everything.
Correct. Correct. And, man, the shock value, because the way that we were even found out was because she literally had a breakdown at school, mm-hmm. and went to the school counselor. So I would really like to thank the school counselor at the time that was at the junior high,
mm-hmm.
who immediately took action. And really, really worked with us at the time to do everything that she could, mm-hmm. to help us. Now, the initial afterwards was difficult. It was adjustment within our entire house. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like my husband at the time wasn't sure how to respond.
Yeah.
Because she is now very guarded with everything. You know, even me, I couldn't say anything to her that was right.
Yeah.
You know, and he damn sure couldn't.
Well, and I'm sure some of that is just not knowing what to do with your emotions.
Yes.
Just acting out.
Correct. And I think what bothers me the most even now is, you know, you ask yourself a lot, how did you not know that your child was acting different?
Yeah.
So for me, I was like, she is being a typical teenager.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When I was ages 13 through 15, I stayed in my fucking bedroom on my phone all the time.
Right.
I wanted to hang out with my dorky ass parents. You know, what? I wanted to talk on the phone with my friends and like listen to music and shit. That's what she was doing. It never even fucking crossed my fucking mind.
But now.
Oh, yeah.
Now that you have been through it, mm-hmm. can you look back and say, okay, these were some warning signs for any parent that might possibly be going through the same thing?
I think now looking back, it was...
Or ways to prevent, yeah. I guess I should say.
Man, so I don't... Honestly, I don't know that there is never a way to keep your children 100% out of harm's way. There isn't.
Yeah.
There isn't. You have to let your children have a lot. I mean, you can't keep them in a fucking bubble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I, and looking back, I guess the only other, she was really good at hiding it.
Yeah.
Honestly, she still can be. Mm-hmm. She really still can be. And, I mean, and now, just because I know what kind of mood she's in by what type of music she's listening to,
mm-hmm.
how quickly she gets irritated with me. After, you know, the first initial of it, we went to counseling.
Right.
Because I felt like that was important. The school felt like that was important. And at our school... They are actually really, really good and have a program that, because she went to the school counselor, they signed us up in this program where all her counseling was free.
Mm-hmm.
It cost us nothing to send her to a counselor, which was excellent.
Right.
She did really well for a while. She had a really cool counselor, loved the shit out of her. She was young. You know, she got it. You know, someone she felt like she could talk to easily.
Mm-hmm.
Being at school was a little difficult. But then her counselor left.
Oh, no.
And I do not blame the counselor. I mean, if you have a chance to better yourself and your family, you are going to do it.
Right, yeah.
Unfortunately, in the state of Oklahoma and in Western Oklahoma... There aren't that many children counselors,
right,
or willing to take on children. So our option at this point was to do like online, which was okay because, you know, we could do it whenever, but it fucking sucked because she needed to be in a room with somebody.
Yeah.
This online bullshit, because she may be on there for 10, 15 minutes and say, I'm done talking.
Mm-hmm.
And then she could just shut the damn thing off. Okay, when you're in a room with someone, you can't do that.
Right.
So, as time passes, you know, obviously, we did get on some medication, which, God help anybody that has a child on any form of mental medication, because that is seriously like playing the goddamn slots. I mean, yeah. Shit has to fucking line up perfectly. So, hey, we're having this problem. We're not sleeping. We aren't eating. We aren't, you know, all the fucking things. So you are now mixing and matching and okay, fuck me. So for a little bit, she was on something. And of course, they always tell you, take it for a while to see how it really plays out.
Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know if you had this issue with her, but I've had a child that had to be on some antidepressants for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they think they can just cold turkey stop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not how I that feel goes.
Better. I feel better.
Yeah, I'm good now.
I don't need this shit. You feel better, dumbass, because you're on the shit.
Right.
So that fucking roulette of horseshit was a fucking nightmare. And the shit that they were giving her, I was like, what? I don't know that she needs that. I don't think we're there. Thanks. Like
their test dummy.
But, I mean, yeah, you feel like a giant fucking guinea pig. Mm-hmm. And some shit would help with one thing, but then it would make her fucking angry.
Yeah.
I mean, she wasn't, you know, but we were angry as fuck. And my God, it was like walking on eggshells. Everybody, everybody in our household was walking on eggshells. Now, me, I am an 80s baby. I'm a 90s child. And I'm not saying that the way I was brought up was wrong. But I'm saying we were taught to deal with things very differently.
So you weren't gentle parented.
No. In fact, it was, and I'm not saying that I, you know, same situation or anything, but okay, you have to get over it. Right. You know what I mean? Like, no matter what it is, you have to get over it. You have to move on.
Like, life goes on.
Yes. Yes.
Pull your bootstraps yes. up. Like. So how then did you have to start parenting her differently than how you were raised or how you previously did?
Because okay, so that's how I had been doing it. I am one of those parents that would, well, what the hell's wrong with you? You know what I mean? Like, what do you mean? No, mm-hmm. you just do this and then you go on. Like, oh, yeah. You know, whatever. I had to learn to, like, when I was upset with her, number one, it was really, really hard for a little while to get onto her about things because she would just break down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I can't do this forever because you're still doing something you're not supposed to do. And I need to be able to get onto you and I need to be able to express to you that you're doing something you shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
But how do I get this across without a breakdown? You know, how do you not baby her, but still get your fucking point across?
Mm-hmm.
And so even with the help of like the counselors and shit, it was literally trial and error.
Yeah.
And so I had to slow down and I still do it. I do it with everybody. If I'm angry or if I'm really wanting to get my point across, I very much slow down my words and very carefully choose the words to use. And I have to literally say to her, I need you to listen. I know you are upset and you would like to express your feelings, but I have feelings and I would also like to be able to express them.
Right.
Like, you know, you have to, it was fucking wild. It was hard. People
don't realize when somebody is in that, state of mind, like they are a little bit more sensitive.
Yes.
They're pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, subconsciously, they're looking for something to piss them off.
Yes. And they're also looking for, not only are they looking to be pissed off, they're looking for that fight, but they are looking for that, I don't know, fucking words here. Like, people are after them. Do you know what I mean? Like people are out to hurt them is what that we...
is what they think?
Yes.
Or,
okay. Yeah. I mean, in my case, that's what we experienced. Yes. Whether... I mean, we're talking like kids at school because she had to go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
So this has happened. Cops have been involved. Counselors are involved.
So she's now a target.
She is. And she was. And I had to, of course, deny. It split groups of friends. It, you know, these are my friends. They believe this person. These are her friends. They believe her.
Mm-hmm.
She struggled so desperately for someone to believe her mm-hmm. besides us and her close friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to say that it was it was devastating to have to tell her that she waited too long to say anything. And that it was basically a he said, she said situation. Mm-hmm. And I tried to explain to her, and the cops tried to explain to her, this may not go anywhere. Mm-hmm. That was absolutely devastating to her. Not, it made her feel like she was alone.
Yeah.
Very.
Like nobody believed her. Correct. Nobody stood up for
yes.
her.
Yes. And it did not fucking matter that we did, that the people who believed her did. Mm-hmm. But that, you know, her story had spread over the school. Now, I know some people, some children said some things to her. Mm-hmm. But she didn't necessarily come home flat out saying, like, I'm being bullied over this. Mm-hmm. But there was some pretty heavy breakdowns at the school. There was lots of missed days, you know, calls from the school. I can't do this. I can't be here.
Kids
and that.
Kids are freaking mean, especially girls at that age.
Yes.
Like, they are vicious. They yes. do not.
And she also tried what she thought was helping other girls by letting them know. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and of course, it didn't matter. And I flat out told her, I said, you know, sis, it's just like anything else in life. You can yell it from the rooftops. If they believe you, fantastic. If they don't, you are going to have to let that go. Mm-hmm. You cannot make somebody believe you that it chooses not to.
Right.
And you can't. That's how it is. So after this, initially, let's see, this happened in September. Come March the next year, I was actually on a business trip. Mm-hmm. And I got a phone call from my mother and my husband. Mm-hmm. That, so it's March. I'm in Pennsylvania, okay? States away, a flight away. I have since separated from my husband. Mm-hmm. Like the month before. I'm not saying that this played into it. I'm sure it did. Because, I mean, it was just a completely different dynamic in our household.
Right.
You know, I felt like I was dealing with a lot at the time.
Well, separation and divorce are hard on kids anyways, even yes. when everything else is perfectly normal yes. in their world.
Right.
So,
I get a phone call that she has overdosed on her meds.
Yes.
So, I cannot get back to her in time. She is in the ER. They have to transport her to a facility in Oklahoma City where mm-hmm. they do like an eval. You're there anywhere from 7 to 10 days.
Okay, explain how you're feeling in this situation. You're states away.
Yes.
You know that your mom and your husband are mm-hmm, there mm-hmm. that you do trust.
Yep.
But what was that feeling like for you as her mother not being able to be right there?
Number one, completely fucking helpless.
Right.
I mean, just devastatingly helpless. And also like in disbelief. I remember answering the phone. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Because in these situations, man, so people ask me all the time, how's she doing? Mm-hmm. A lot of the time my answer is, I don't know. And not because I'm a shitty fucking mom, but my kid, and I'm sure most children, are secretive. Mm-hmm. They don't want you, they want you to think that they are fine. And this breakdown, these episodes literally happen in minutes.
Right.
She literally can be completely fine and something is said. She's And at one time, something comes across TV, something comes across anything at all.
Triggers.
And it's like she is immediately right back where she was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, she loses it.
Do you think that, though, with counseling and your help and your family's help and all that, do you think that she's kind of come to realize maybe what some of her triggers are?
Oh, yeah.
How does she cope with those?
She really, really enjoys music,
mm-hmm.
and she likes to draw and paint.
Okay.
So for her to clear her mind, or when she knows, like she also knows, you know, we were taught the trick to kind of center yourself,
mm-hmm.
and it's like find, you know, five things you can see,
mm-hmm.
four things you can hear, three things you can smell, two things you can touch, one thing you can taste,
mm-hmm.
and as you're going through, you are concentrating on each thing, and that kind of brings her back to a center.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like, you know, you want to still be able to give your children space.
Right.
They still need to be kids. They still need to go. I mean, I didn't want her going
anywhere.
Fucking where. I wanted to know who the fuck she was with, where the fuck she was at all times. I cannot let her live in a fucking bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And again, come at me if you wish. But you can't do that. You have to let children have a life. And obviously, I allowed her to do what she felt like she was ready to do.
Yeah.
But I did one of the best things ever. I told my kid, if you are ever in a place that you no longer want to be, or if you are invited somewhere that you do not want to be, but you don't want to be the weirdo that's like, I don't want to go to that, or I can't, whatever. I said, you blame your mom.
Mm-hmm.
You say, I asked my mom said no.
Absolutely.
And that's all you have to fucking say. That's it. Drop it. It's done. I'll be the bad guy. I don't give a shit.
I'll even come and cause a scene.
Yeah. Yeah. and we struggled with self-harm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, And then, you know, you have the people, it's like, you didn't fucking notice this? Well,
I'm
ladies
sorry.
And gents.
Do you strip your kid down butt-ass naked and
yeah,
check
when they're
their
14
body
years
day?
Old? Nope. And
exactly.
What do kids wear today? What does every fucking kid wear?
Hoodie.
And fucking sweatpants.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Once they're a certain age, you don't fucking check them anymore. You don't walk in on them in the bathroom. You don't this and
right.
that. So, our first little stint to the mental health facility, obviously, we have a plan that they send you home with. They're like, hide this, 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 and this. Okay, great.
Yeah, so what was that like?
Oh, fuck.
Rearranging your home.
I couldn't chop shit for nothing because I couldn't keep knives anywhere. You want to fucking cut some wrapping paper? Fuck you, stupid. You can't at my house. You're going to have to go somewhere the fuck else. I'm not joking. Mm-hmm. I went through the entire fucking house. And, okay, I did learn, because I've never been this person. I don't know. I haven't been around anybody that's done anything like this, so I had no idea what the fuck to look out for.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't even matter. Even one of her counselors told me one time, I don't care what you hide, what you put away, they will find something. They will. They'll find something, anything. So, like, one of the things, literally, they used the little plastics on the end of their shoelaces.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I thought the whole shoelace thing, not in your shoes for Captain Crazy Town. Okay. I can say that because I've called it that several times to her.
Back to the Velcro.
Yeah. I'm like, fuck, you about to get a straight jacket. And we make fun of her grippy socks. She has several different pair and several different colors because you got to wear the grippy socks in the hospital.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, it's. You immediately think, okay, knives, scissors, anything that immediately comes across to you is sharp.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you need to be thinking of the shit that's not really sharp and get rid of that. I'm like, no shit, huh?
Good grief.
I mean, she had some scarring, and I know she still has a little bit, like, on her legs, upper thighs.
Mm-hmm.
Her left arm was pretty fucking scarred up for a while. The only time I was ever like, I walked into her room one time to wake her up, and there was some paper towels that had blood on them. I'm like, well, that's fucking weird. She must have got, you know, a nosebleed or something. And she would, you know, wintertime you dry out.
Right.
She would get nosebleeds every once in a while. So I, you know, wake her up. I'm like, man, sis, what's going on? What's up with the paper towel with the blood on it? Oh, I got a nosebleed. Oh, okay. You know what I mean? Like, it was a legit fucking excuse that would not have made me think of anything. So eventually I see the legs. Like, she shows me, she tells her counselor, whatever, they bring me in, they tell me, and I'm just like, what the fuck am I missing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't even tell you how many times I ask myself, what in the fuck am I missing? What am I not seeing?
Mm-hmm.
And I really do think it's because I was brought up differently, and I also don't think that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even know what the fuck to look for.
So what about you during that time? I'm sure you went through some depression.
Oh, fuck.
And some, like, was there somebody that, did you do counseling also? Like, what did you do for your own sanity?
I did not, although I probably should have. My whole perception of life changed.
Yeah.
And has stuck that way. Honestly, I did not deal with it well. So my kid went back to the hospital again at, actually it was probably about 3 weeks after she got home from the first stay for her 7 to 10 days or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. They sent her home with me, and I was fucking scared shitless.
Oh, I bet.
I'm like, why in the fuck would you send the suicidal fucking kid back to me? I mean, I know I wasn't there the first time, but like, I don't know that I'm responsible enough to, and, yeah. And then you don't sleep.
Right.
I mean, I was checking on her throughout the fucking night, waiting until she went to sleep before I would go to sleep. Mm-hmm. Wake up early to make sure she didn't wake up before I woke up. The amount of on edge that you are,
mm-hmm,
is fucking crazy. So it was probably 2 or 3 weeks later, and I can't even remember what the fuck it was she took. She took some, I remember, ibuprofen. No, was it? Fuck, I don't remember. It was something. It might have been ibuprofen. Took a fucking ass load of it. Now, would it really do anything so much? It's gonna fuck your shit up a little bit. Probably not necessarily gonna kill you.
Yeah.
But, you know, she doesn't know that. Get to the hospital, and I'm not, I scared, because I called my, at the time, separated ex-husband, whatever the fuck he was at the time, because, you know, it was, I mean, he adopted her, it was his kid, he needed to fucking know. I called my parents, we all rushed to the ER. I scared them.
Yeah.
I scared them because I was doing like this weird ass fucking like laugh cry shit. Like I was like the shit you see in like fucking cartoons.
You went
cartoons.
Straight up Harley Quinn on her.
Yes.
Ass,
yeah.
You?
Like you see this shit in the fucking cartoons where people lose their fucking mind and crack up. I was fucking doing it. So she actually got sent to a facility for another 7 to 10 days. And from there, she went to an in-house, like permanent residency for weeks.
Yeah.
Mind you, my husband has left. I have asked him to leave. He is gone. My daughter is fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And she is now gone. So I am left in my home for weeks. She was probably gone 8 weeks, 7, 8 weeks, right before her birthday.
Yeah.
I basically just drank myself into oblivion every day so that I could go to sleep,
mm-hmm,
which I still wasn't sleeping. We're talking on average like 4 hours a night. To the outside world, I probably looked like everything was fine.
Yeah.
On the inside and at home,
You were dying.
Fucking. Lost. Mm-hmm. So I did not handle it well because I chose to drink through the shit. Mm-hmm. So even after she came home, obviously I did not fucking get like shit faced and stuff around her. I would wait until she went to my mom's house, mm-hmm. or went to a friend's house. Like obviously she couldn't go anywhere for a while after that, but eventually I had to let her be a kid and experience life and be with other people and be with friends. So when she would be, you know, at the friend's house, I call my mom and be like, yo, Kaysen's at friend's house. If she calls you, you need to handle it. She's like, okay. Because I was going to be fucking shit-faced. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was going to be fucking obliterated.
You just wanted to forget things for
yes.
a day.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it was not good. I'm obviously not that way now, but it took me a while between getting divorced and then knowing this is what I'm dealing with, what I felt like, I guess, was on my own. I mean, I had my parents and stuff, but we're talking not just day to day, we're talking minute to minute. They could not be there 24/7. So, it's been a year's struggle. Mm-hmm. And then eventually you get pissed. You know what I mean? Like, you want to kind of baby them, you do this, and then you start to get pissed off.
Then you just want
to
smack them around because what yes. the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, really. You know, like, the whole not wanting to go to school, skipping school. I have probably said some shit to my kid. It was probably a couple years later, but we're still dealing with this, and I get it. I trust me, I get it. I get that you are still dealing with this and things still bother you and blah, 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 blah. But eventually it's like,
yeah,
you have to fucking go to school. And we have tried, we left school. We did online for a while. You know, she had to transfer actual schools when she was in the facility. Mm-hmm. And right now, currently we do alt ed. And I'm telling you what now. The teacher for alt ed is the school counselor.
Oh.
There's only 16 children in this class. This has been one of the fucking absolute best experiences in the last three, almost 4 years that we have had. And I fucking love it.
Yeah.
Fucking love it.
You gotta find what works best for your kid.
Yes.
It's not gonna be the same thing that does for everybody.
Right, because...
One of the points I wanted to get back to, before your daughter was sexually assaulted, mm-hmm. she was a normal, happy kid, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
So, this instance completely upturned her life. It completely, I mean, can you imagine being that age, not being sexually active, not experiencing mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. from a place of love or what it's yeah. supposed to be.
Yep.
I mean, of course she's scarred for life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we're kind of fucked up people. So sometimes she will see a picture from when she was like 10, mm-hmm. 9, you know, whatever. And she'll be like, oh, man, I forgot about that. And I'm like, yeah. She'll be like, yep, that's back when I was actually happy all the time. I mean, she says it. She knows. Like, she fucking knows. You know, she knows she still has a path to go down. Mm-hmm. She knows that the healing does not actually end. It's just not... It never ends. So, I'm so thankful that now... We are kind of in a place a little bit where things are a little bit easier and we can make it for weeks or a month at a time and not have a fucking catastrophe. But like for me, even those... You know, those, even if it's been weeks or, you know, a month that we haven't had a breakdown or whatever, when it happens, I am immediately like, motherfucker. Really? Like, I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready for another catastrophe. I'm not ready for another fucking breakdown. I mean, she used to fucking sit in her room and scream. I mean, scream. And it was so fucking hard to listen to. And sometimes I would just have to go in there and sit in her room and not say anything while she did this. Yeah. It would be scary. You know, we would wake up in the middle of the night. Oh my gosh, I could have killed this child one time. She was having a hard time. It was in the middle of the night. And she did exactly what she was supposed to do. She called the crisis helpline. Mm-hmm. She calls them and her fucking phone died.
Oh no.
So they can't get a hold of her. So they think the worst.
Oh no.
It's 2 a.m. and I have two Elk City cops at my fucking door. You know, the dogs are barking. They are doing like a wellness check. I'm like, what the fuck is happening right now? I mean, I was dead asleep. I mean, I was asleep. But I mean, that was my life. That's what I maybe woke up to in the middle of the night and maybe didn't. Yeah. And, you know, it was, there was one time, which, oh, I can't remember when the fuck it was. I mean, all the days and the months and the years really just kind of fucking slap in together. Mm-hmm. But, she always seems to wait until I'm gone. Like, it's always when I went to Oklahoma City, I was just going to be gone. Not even the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shit was fine. Shit was perfectly fine. And she messages me and says, I'm already in the city. Like, I'd just gotten there. And she messages me and says, hey, I just want to let you know I'm struggling a little bit today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's wrong? What do you need me to do? Do you need to go somewhere? Do I need to call somebody? You know, and we're talking, this is 3 years later.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm good. I've got this. Do I need to start heading back? No, I just want to let you know that I'm struggling today. I'm like, okay, when I get home, let's, because, I mean, I was supposed to go to this thing for my friend. We were going to go eat dinner. I told her, I was like, hey, I can't stay for dinner. I'll stay for this, but I need to go ahead and get back as soon as I can.
Right.
Kind of told her what was up. She understood, you know. And I said, when I get home, we'll sit down and just make a plan. You know, we'll talk things out. And obviously that shit has helped. She said, okay, have fun, you know, blah, 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 blah. About 45 minutes later, she calls me.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I did something bad. On my way.
Heart.
Oh, fuck me. I'm in the city. My mom was in the city. The only one even close was my dad.
Yeah.
So I am talking to her. She starts, sounds like, throwing up on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Kaysten, I have to call Papa and see if he can get to you right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't know where the fuck he was. And I said, I'm going to hang up, but I will call back. So I called him. He's like, I mean, I'm just like frantic. Get to my house. Get to my house. Get to my house. Get to my house.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the fucking car. I just basically bolted. It took me about maybe an hour and 15 minutes, maybe, to get from Oklahoma City to the emergency room. I called her back, and she answered the phone and did not say anything.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh my God, what is she doing? What is happening?
Mm-hmm.
She's not responding to me. I stayed on the phone until I could hear the dogs barking. That way I knew my dad was there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. My dad gets there. I hang up. You know, I'm calling him. He's rushing her to the emergency room. She didn't even remember. She didn't remember leaving the house. She didn't remember my dad getting there. She didn't remember being in the emergency room. Her heart rate went to like, oh my God, it was like maybe her blood pressure, I guess, is what it was, like 80 something over 30. Like, it was fucking wild. And I'm just like, and me, I'm just thinking, you dumb girl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you, it pisses me off that I get pissed off at her.
That's your baby.
But it still pisses me off. And every time she goes in anywhere, you always have to list, what are your reasons for living? What is something you can say? And she always puts me at the first. I'm number one every time. And it is confusing to me because I've not ever been there. I've been upset. I've been sad. You know, but I have never thought, I don't want to fucking be here anymore. And my child has fucking outright said that to me. I do not, I hurt so bad that I do not want to be here anymore. It's like, are you kidding? When I was 16, I wanted to do shit and be alive and do all these things. And my, you know, 13, 14, 15 year old doesn't even want to exist in the world.
Yeah.
And the only reason why she currently wants to stay alive is because she doesn't want me to be sad. What the fuck do you do with that? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. And maybe I didn't handle things right. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know. This is my only kid.
What you think is right.
Exactly. You do what you think is best at the time. And, you know, sometimes it's like, well, that was stupid, you know, whatever. But you do that anyway, even with a kid that isn't having the same issues.
I don't think that you're mad at her.
Oh, no.
I think what you're mad at is somebody taking that from her. Somebody taking her innocence and just totally flipping her world upside down.
I mean, yeah. Like, you know, what would I have done had she not come forward? Because, I mean, how many kids really do?
Right.
You know, I mean, thank God she trusted someone enough, even if she didn't want to tell me. And honestly, I think the shame and embarrassment is what kept her from telling me. I don't think she didn't say anything to me directly because she thought I was going to be mad.
Right.
I think she really was just guilt, like guilt.
Battling it.
Yes. In her own mind. And it's easier to tell someone you don't know well than it is to tell your mom. You know what I mean? Like, we have an extremely open relationship now. But, and things are better. They do seem to be better. She does handle things better, but it has been one hell of an adjustment. And it is, and if somebody asked me right now today, hey, how's your daughter, I'm still gonna tell you I don't know, because I don't know.
Well, here's the thing that I see, and it's like I told you this morning. Well, first of all, I think I need to tell you, I think you're an amazing mom.
Thank you.
I think you have, I'm gonna get all teary eyed now, I think you have a beautiful, sweet, loving, very kind daughter. And she didn't do that herself. You did that. You raised her. But the fact that she wants to share her story.
Yes.
To possibly help somebody else. To me, that shows growth.
Yeah.
And she's getting stronger. Yes. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Because I did. I asked her first. She did not, you know, obviously want to participate. But she that is what she said. If this could help someone. So, you know, she currently wants to be a nurse.
I love that.
I love it. You know, a couple years ago, she might not have been anything.
Right.
You know, and now she has these plans and she's wanting to do things. So that is obviously a step in the right direction. You know, but this is a process. It's still an ongoing process. And, you know, every day is definitely an adventure in yeah. my house. And I do know that, you know, other parents know about it here in this small ass town we live in. And I'm sure, you know, a lot of people think that she's weird. You know, she's whatever. It's fine because a lot of them think that she's a little weird or whatever. Because
a lot of them are freaking stupid, okay?
I know, but they, you know, they also don't know the whole story.
Right.
But she is. She's a good kid.
She is.
She tries.
She is. And yeah. you're brave for telling your side of the story,
oh,
too.
Oh, God, I know. It's been lovely.
Well, guys.
That was a long one.
That was a long one.
Hey, so if just, okay, one more thing. Sorry, and I'll shut the fuck up. You know how you see, like, the commercials on TV about how there's a Facebook group for everything and everyone?
Mm-hmm.
No fucking shit there is. I fucking joined, like, Parents of Teenagers Support Group. You can look up anything. And I'm telling you something right now. Being able to read some of their stories and some of it completely aligning with mine...
Mm-hmm.
Or something very similar in what they did. And just the fact that they are struggling with it was fucking amazing just to read through these stories and know that you are not the only fucking person out there dealing with this and feeling like you are also fucking nuts. Like, it is so fucking nice.
I'm sure it feels like it. I mean, I've been through stuff with my kids, and it is nice to hear somebody else say, hey, we've been through this too.
Yes, or like, here's what I tried. Here's what I did.
Yeah.
So, like I said when we started this, if this is you, and you need to talk about it, you want to talk about it, if your kid needs another kid to talk about it with... fucking reach out. Because that, I mean, she did the same thing. She found kids that had dealt with the same thing that she could actually talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And all the crazy feelings that you have about it, she could express and not be judged.
Yeah. That's all you really want is to feel understood.
Fucking roller coaster of stupid that you will go through. And some of it sounds awful. Some of it's not so fucking bad. But... you want to just not feel judged for feeling the way that you do.
Right.
About whatever it is. Okay, sorry.
No, you're good. I think you did awesome.
Thanks.
And like you said, I'm sure this will resonate with somebody and help them. So.
Let's hope so.
All right, guys. Yeah. If you like this episode or know somebody that it could help, share it. Go to any of our major platforms, leave us a review, and we will be back here next week.
Okay, bye. Bye.